Can we open our Bibles, please, to that portion of God's Word that we read from a few moments ago? 1 Samuel chapter 17. Can we take this opportunity of saying how delighted we are to be here with you tonight? We trust that the Lord will bless us as we come around God's precious Word. It's always been a delight and a privilege to attend these meetings here once a year. If we lived a little bit closer, we could come more often, but we're glad to be here tonight. We trust that the Lord will bless his word as we speak here upon Goliath, a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. And we want to think about this subject tonight, looking to the Lord to bless his word to our hearts. Perhaps we could just read the verse 4. It'll not be a text in the official sense of the word, but it will bring to our attention the matter we're thinking about tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits. And a span. With God's word before us, let's just seek the Lord, please, in prayer this evening, seeking the Lord for his blessing, for his mercy, and for his grace. Heavenly Father, tonight again we approach that heavenly throne of grace. We thank thee this evening that we can draw nigh to God. Through the blessed Saviour, we have access tonight unto the Lord himself. And we do ask thee this evening that thou wilt bless our coming together. As we have even travelled to this meeting, we have mingled amongst multitudes. Multitudes of people coming to this city for a vast array of reasons. But the vast majority focusing their attention solely upon the here and now. Lord, we thank thee for the grace of God that singled us out to bring us into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to give to us that desire that has us here tonight, that desire to hear from God. That desire to fix our attention not upon earthly things, but upon eternal things. And we believe that over this year, this is a subject matter neglected by many of thy own people, but a subject matter upon which you've spoken. And you have spoken clearly and plainly. Lord, lead us into thy truth. Lead us into thy truth. This very night, touch these lips of clay. Touch these lips with a fresh coal from off the altar this evening. And Lord, let thy name be glorified. And let thy truth be honoured. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Across the great array of prophecy, across the many different scenes predicted in prophecy, there falls a shadow, an ominous shadow, a figure. A commanding figure. That is the man of sin, Antichrist himself. Some have told us, and indeed still tell us, that we ought not to give much attention to or concern ourselves over much regarding Antichrist. Rather, we should spend our time only thinking upon Christ himself. All our thoughts should be directed towards the Lord alone. And the implication is that we err by giving any time in our thoughts to the one identified in Scripture as the Antichrist. I would, however, tonight dare to inquire, where is it that the Christian is to look for direction on what ought to be the focus of our attention? Who sets the rules in this matter? Those things that are deserving of the study and of the attention of the child of God. What is it that guides us in this matter? Well, surely every Protestant will have no problem answering this question. Should it not be the Bible itself? Between the covers of this book, we have that which requires constantly our undivided attention. The book we hold in our hands tonight, the book we have read from, the book that we want to honour and give that prominent place, sets out clearly and plainly those matters that God wants us to think about. Oh, it is the Scriptures of truth, that set the parameters of this matter we think about. And no true believer will deny this fact. Clearly, when we do this, we quickly and emphatically discover that God wants us to know about the coming of the Antichrist. And that surely is what is important. Yes, there certainly are secret things concealed from our view, concealed very deliberately and with purpose. Things past, things present, and yes, things future. They're far out of the reach of our finite intellects and minds. But yet, praise God this evening in the Scriptures of truth, there are those things which are revealed. Things that fall within our domain and which God requires us to be acquainted with. If you turn quickly over to there to a verse in the Gospels, John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and the verse 7. There you will read these words. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Oh, there are things concealed. There's things that we are in the dark about. And God has his purposes. God has his reasons for keeping us in the dark. Yet there are things revealed. There are things shown to us, and they, the Bible tells us, belong unto us. That tremendous verse in the book of Deuteronomy in the chapter 29 and the verse 29 clearly shows us this. Deuteronomy 29 and the verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things that which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Oh, please mark these words. Mark these words. That we may do all the words of this law. And the point I make tonight is simply this: to those who would at least imply in the way they talk about this matter that we ought not to be giving our attention to Antichrist, I show you this evening, amongst those things revealed for our consideration, are these matters concerning Antichrist. All revealed in this book is for us, and for our good, and for our children, and that forever. That forever. Well, has this not been the objective in these meetings over this past year? Month by month, many of the foreshadowings, the types of Antichrist, have been set before us. The wicked one, the man of sin as he's identified, has been shown to us again and again and again. And all of these things are ours, given to us today in the scriptures for our enlightenment. And to neglect them is, in fact, to repudiate the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thoughts tonight, of course, are going to be with this well-known Old Testament character, Goliath. Even amongst those tonight that are illiterate as far as the Bible is concerned, will be aware of the story of David and Goliath. And it's a phrase that is in common use in the world. Men and women may not know the details of the story, but they understand what is meant by the mention just of these two men. In this chapter, then, there are three key figures that were at our purpose tonight. Each one of them have tremendous messages for our age. David, and King Saul, and then this individual Goliath. We focus upon Goliath this evening. His shadow falls here across this whole scene, and in many, many respects reminds us of he who has yet to come. He who will gather together in one person all of that anti-Christian spirit that has ever manifested itself in the world. Gather it together into one individual. Let us then consider some of the key reminders that are found here from the history of Goliath himself. First of all, I will have you think tonight upon Goliath's name. Let's begin with his name. I say to all, God wants us to know about Antichrist because he has named him. He has given him, in fact, many, many different names. A multitude of names. So that we might be in no doubt about this individual. So that we might have a full picture of this individual. And is there not reason again why we ought to study this subject? Simply from that one observation. How many names the Holy Spirit has given to Antichrist. Why would the Holy Spirit go to such pains if this was a matter of no interest or no concern to the people of God? That may be how man acts, but it's certainly not in keeping with the character of our God. With each of these names, God is pointing out matter for the believer to specially lay hold upon regarding this one that is to come. Well, in the case here, Goliath before us, there is something for us in this name. The name Goliath has the meaning, according to Young's Concordance, of soothsayer. Soothsayer. So right away, we see even in his name, he is tied with the evil world of wickedness. And he is opposed to the God of heaven. His name, his very name, announces that. His name declares that. His name makes this abundant clear. He's from beneath. This is not one who, like the Lord Jesus Christ, has come down from heaven. Those names we have already used of this final great worldly leader that is to arise just prior to the coming again of the Son of God in glory and in power, the man of sin, the wicked one. Those names, likewise, just like the name of Goliath, identify who this individual is and the spirit that he imbibes. Yet there is another name given by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians in the chapter 2. If we just turn the passage up, 2 Thessalonians and the chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. And I'm thinking here of what we read in the verse 3. For our exhortation, 2 Thessalonians, I've turned to 1st. 2 Thessalonians, the chapter 2 and the verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. And it's these last words, the son of perdition. The son of perdition. That's the one whom we think upon as we contemplate Antichrist this evening. He is the son of perdition. And just while we have our Bibles open at this particular chapter, perhaps we should glance also at the verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Here's the one we think about tonight. Here's the one identified in his name, his character clearly, unmistakably set before us. He is controlled by the power of hell itself. That already suggested to us in the very name that's given to him. Then, I want us to see secondly here this evening, the stature of the man. The stature of the man. There are hardly two commentators, at least the commentators that I have glanced at, that agree on what actual height this man was when you bring the measurements over into our modern measurements. Yet it is abundantly clear that Goliath was a giant of a man compared to those around him. The whole camp of Israel saw Jonathan, and all those other great military leaders and warriors in Israel trembled in the presence of this man. There's no doubting the fact that here was a man to stand out amongst other men. We are already talking here of a man above all men, a superman, if you like. A man that outstrips those around him. To the Philistines, they had in Goliath a champion. One in which they had full confidence in his ability, not just to defy the children of Israel, but to defeat the children of Israel. Three times you will read the English word in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You'll read the English word champion. Twice it's the same Hebrew word that's translated champion, and once it's a different original word. And this is pointing us to the fact tonight, here was a man of outstanding physical character, a man renowned amongst men as a champion. And this reminds us of the man of sin. This reminds us of Antichrist himself. Turn with me to the book of Daniel and to the chapter 8. The book of Daniel, please, the chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, reading here the verses 23 and 24. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when market transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Also, we could turn to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and to the 13th chapter of that particular book. Revelation chapter 13 and the verse 4. John writes, and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Oh, is Goliath not painting this picture for us? In Goliath there was a great champion. In Goliath there was one in whom the Philistines had full confidence to defeat Israel. That reminds us of the one who has been the subject matter of these meetings over this past year. Goliath. Goliath not only had a name that set him apart as a man of evil, but he had great physical stature as well. But thirdly, let us notice here that Goliath takes to the field at the head of an army going forth against Israel. Goliath is the avowed enemy of the Lord of glory and of his chosen people. The Philistines carried always in their breast an overwhelming hatred for God's people, and would do them down at every given opportunity. Thus here, in this place, we have a great champion whose heart is filled with hatred towards God and towards God's chosen people. The great aim of Goliath is to rout Israel, to defy Israel's God, to bring the Israelites into bondage, to bring them under the Philistine heel, and to obliterate their armies from the field of conflict. And Goliath would not rest until he subjugated the Lord's people. This is the aim that filled this man's heart. This day, as he goes forth to champion the Philistine cause, it was with the aim, let us destroy these Israelites. Let's have done with them. Well, from many places in our Bibles, we discover that this will be very much the thing upon the mind and upon the heart of Antichrist as well. His armies surround Jerusalem in those final scenes leading up to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're gathered there with one purpose, with one aim, to finish off Jerusalem, to finish off this troublesome people. You see, the devil retains animosity to Israel, God's chosen people. And the devil's son, Antichrist, the son of partition, will carry into practice that heart hatred to the people of God. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. Second last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 14. And the first verses of that chapter where we read these words. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the woman ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. This army is coming against Jerusalem, coming against the people of God, with this purpose to wipe them out, to destroy them. In the book of Isaiah and the chapter 14, Isaiah's prophecy, the chapter 14, we read there at the verse 24, Isaiah 14 verse 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian, that is the Antichrist, where? In my land. In my land, and upon my mountain, tread him underfoot, then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. This is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Oh, the man of sin is destroyed here in the land and upon the mountains where he has himself gone forth against the people of God. In going against Israel in war, that's where Antichrist meets his end. Oh yes, at a prior stage in his career, with oily words he spoke peace to Israel. But as Psalm 55 shows us very clearly, while speaking those oily words, those buttery words of peace, all the while war was in his heart. War against God, war against the people of the Lord. We read in Psalm 55 verse 20, he hath put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Oh, these are important matters that we need to take to heart. This is an age when everyone is supposedly promoting peace. We see it everywhere. It is but a manifesting of the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist. This great man, this man inspired by hell, carries in his breast the spirit of war against God. And that will be manifest in his treatment of Israel and the people of God. But this is not all that's here in Goliath to remind us and to point out the chief characteristics of Antichrist. Clearly as well, we see the pride of the man, how pretentious he is, how arrogant Goliath was. And this again reminds us of Antichrist. We think about his words. We have saw, as it were, through the Holy Spirit, into the spirit of the man. We have looked at his actions, his war against Israel and God. But we have to think about his words. How arrogant are his words. We read here in our chapter at the verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. I defy the armies of Israel. He defied the armies of Israel. He is sure that he can face them down. He's sure he can take on every individual that may come before him. The verses 41 and 40 to 44 should be considered as well. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Here's the pride of the man. Here's the arrogancy of the man on clear display. We hear it in his words. We hear it in his words. And Antichrist will manifest this very same spirit. And what words are spoken today? What voices are raised today louder and louder against God and against his truth? What arrogancy, what pride is on show today? How proud, how arrogant, how God-defying is this one that is to arise? And I'm telling you, the spirit of Antichrist is already at work amongst us. The Apostle Peter, writing about the experience of Lot in Sodom, had this to say in 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And part of that which vexed Lot, righteous soul, was the defiant voice that was raised against God. And that voice is being heard louder and louder and louder. And the Bible is showing us it will ultimately arrive at the place where this great God defier is raised up to lead the nations of the Roman earth. But there's more for us to consider here. In this foreshadowing of Antichrist in Goliath, I think there is also here a reminder of that number that is given to Antichrist in Revelation chapter 13. The last verse of that chapter reference is made to the number 666. Revelation chapter 13 and the verse 18. Here is wisdom. John says, Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66. Well, if you follow carefully the narrative here before us in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you will discover there are three sixes as well. Look at the verse 4 of the chapter to begin with. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistine, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Then we're told between the verses 5 and 7 here of 6 different pieces of armor. And then in the verse 7, we're told that his spear was 600 shekels of weight of iron. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And I think at the very least it is interesting to notice there's this tying up with that number that's given there in Revelation 13 and the verse 18. But then also we are given here in the history of Goliath a very important consideration. We are shown who it is that silences the defier of God. Goliath is slain by David himself. It's David himself. It's David himself alone. Please see this. When there is none other to step forward and deliver Israel from the mouth of this lion, from the paw of this wild beast, David, the man anointed by God, steps forward to the task. In the crisis hour, God's man enters the field against this God-defier. The greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, is identified as the one to silence the Antichrist. What a blessed encouragement this is to us this evening. We read about this in Isaiah, for example, in Isaiah chapter 53, and we could turn to many places. But I'm only just giving you samples of the scriptures that back up what we're saying. Isaiah chapter 53, the first verses of that chapter. What a picture we have here of the ultimate triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ over Antichrist. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood, mark that, their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation upon me, and my fury, it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. These garments stained with blood, many commentators want to attribute this all to Calvary, but the blood sprinkled upon the garments of Christ here, it's not his own blood, it's the blood of his enemies. It's the blood of Antichrist and his defeated forces. Turn to the book of Revelation again in the chapter 19. There we read these words, Revelation 19 and the verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Christ is the one who takes to the field against Antichrist and delivers Israel and destroys Antichrist. We have the great defeater of Antichrist identified already for us. It is Christ. It is Christ. I will say one more thing this evening, a seventh thing regarding Goliath's likeness to Antichrist. Notice, please, when it is, that David slays Goliath. Interestingly, it was at his second visit to the camp. Look at the verse 15 of our chapter. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David had been there before, but he returns to feed his father's sheep. And it was at his being sent the second time that he defeats Goliath. The downfall of this great enemy came at David's second coming to the camp. This pinpoints for us the time when Antichrist will meet his doom. It is at the coming again, the second time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these are the matters. These are the matters that the Holy Spirit has put on record regarding Goliath, and how they direct our minds and our hearts to contemplate Antichrist himself. I simply ask in closing this evening, in light of all that you have heard over this year, from all the different foreshadowings of Antichrist that have been considered, the many, many matters that have been brought to our attention, from his many names, from the amount of space in the Bible itself that is given to this very subject, can we ever conclude that this is a matter that God the Holy Spirit wants us to be in the dark about? Surely it's only the reasonable thing to see that here is a matter. Here is a matter that God, the Holy Spirit, wants us aware of. It's a matter we cannot and we dare not be careless about. Because the witness of God in the Scriptures is very clear and very plain. And has much, much to show to us. We neglect these things at our peril. How many times when reading through the gospel accounts, we have noticed how Christ took great pains to tell his disciples that yes, he was going to be crucified, he was going to die, and he was going to rise again. Over and over again, that was told to the disciples. But because of their own preconceived ideas, their ears were closed to these matters. So when those events began to unfold, they were cast into great consternation. God has written these things for our learning. He has presented these histories and the details in these histories. There's many things he has left out, but he has specifically selected that which has been before us to show us these matters, to make us aware. that none of these things take us by surprise. May the Lord tonight, write upon our hearts His word. May we be brought this evening to rejoice in the one, at God's appointed time, who will go forth and put to silence that anti-Christian voice that is so loudly heard today. It will one day be silenced. Christ will do that. May the Lord bless His word for Christ's sake. Amen.